We are going over to Canada now. Patty Hall had to confront the unthinkable when her son was diagnosed with a rare medical condition. Her new normal saw her step into a dozen additional roles while she struggled to rebuild her life as a divorced woman. In her book, Loving Large, she discovers that resilience is learned and that changes experienced in the aftermath of crisis can often create the greatest opportunities. She's here with us to share her story. Thanks for being on the show, Patty.
It's a pleasure. Welcome to Canada via the airwaves.
It's amazing, isn't it? We're so far away and yet we could be next door.
It's true.
And how are you coping in lockdown? Are things getting easier for you over there?
Things are getting easier over here. I think as a writer, I've certainly adapted very well, and things are opening up here a little bit in central Canada, yes.
Good. That's good news. So let's talk about your son, Adam, who was diagnosed with gigantism. What's that?
Right. So gigantism is, as many people will understand, is the disease behind giants. It is behind excessive growth. Particularly, gigantism is the excessive growth in children, prepubescent people. So when Aaron was diagnosed at 16, it was gigantism. He was about 6.5 feet tall already, but genetically was predisposed for height. And I think most people have heard of giants, and certainly this is the disease that is behind giants of folklore and myth.
And I believe it started with a tumor, a golf ball sized tumor that you discovered when he was a teenager.
That's right. So he was having random headaches. He was having painful joints. And he occasionally would tell me something funny that made me suspicious that his vision was a little off. So, you know, we discounted it. And but finally, the headaches were quite encumbering, and he wasn't wanting to go to school. And we went to the doctor, and lo and behold, a CAT scan, confirmed by a number of other tests, diagnosed gigantism, which is a tumor on the pituitary specifically.
And could he have had that removed?
Yes, and he did in fact have it removed, and he was fortunate enough to qualify for to be the kind of candidate that would see some success from surgery. He had one and then another 2 days later surgery that removed as much as was possible of it. You know, tumors in the pituitary tend to invade spaces in the cranium that even our modern instruments can't get to. So while he's had most of the tumor removed, some of the effects of the tumor still remain. The tumor itself produces growth hormone. So any remnant that remains produces growth hormone. So now he's on a drug regimen, and he's had radiation to eliminate the effects as much as possible, certainly to tamp back the effects of the growth hormone on his system. But he's already a man of 6'11" now.
Wow, crikey. And do you know how it's caused? Is it a genetic illness?
Yeah, no, there's genetic research into it now. There are two genetic discoveries that are trying to explain it. Neither one explains it in my son. So we are continuing to be candidates, our entire family, because it can show up anywhere in the family, presuming that it is genetic, and it's now known to be genetic in some origin. And we are part of studies worldwide that try to explain it.
And naturally, as a mother, your attention would shift to your child. You want to do anything that you can for your son. I understand that. But it was at the detriment of your marriage, of your career. What a nightmare for you.
Yeah, you know, I say it's natural. And I mean, I literally don't think there's anything particularly special about us. I mean, the disease is uber rare. But what was classic about us was he was in trouble. And he was in trouble really rapidly. He was growing an inch every 2 months. His vision was declining. I did the research, as I think anyone would. Thank God for the internet in these cases. And I realized what kind of lifestyle he would have and how diminished his quality of life would be if we allowed him to literally grow to, you know, the upper 7 foot range. He would have been above 7.5 feet if this tumor continued to grow unencumbered. So, you know, I did what everyone did, but to my own detriment. I was selfless to literally a fault. And my marriage was only one of the things that got lost in the shuffle, unfortunately.
And did you find it cathartic writing the book? I know it's a memoir. It's called Loving Large, a Mother's Rare Disease Memoir. Did it help you, or was it difficult to write?
Yeah, luckily, you know, Selena, I'm a professional writer, so I thought this would protect me, you know, insulate me somehow from the pain. But the best thing that insulated me was time. That I originally wrote it, I think, about 2015, and then I rewrote it again in 2018, realizing that I had a lot more story to tell. And in fact, Aaron continues to be in treatment, so we had a lot more medical adventures to come up in the book. And as anyone who reads it will see, you know, I think we're pretty funny together. In fact, we're goofy beyond belief together. So there was a lot more of our relationship. There was a lot more of my growth. And I've never really come to terms with what I've quite done to myself, but he's doing as well as possible. So was it cathartic? Absolutely. I think every memoir is, but I didn't realize it at the time, of course. I just realized that I was telling a story that so many other people in my situation would benefit from, whether their child had a very rare disease or their child had been recently diagnosed with asthma. I think what isn't special about it is you just run around like a mad fool to get your child what they need, and you really do lose sight of everything on the periphery.
I think you're right there. I mean, because it's a rare disease, there probably aren't necessarily parents with children that have gigantism. But like you say, there will be right. people with illnesses that are probably thinking, well, thank goodness it's not just me that's rushing around like a headless chicken. It's quite normal in these situations.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, you meet others like you and you recognize yourself. You know, you meet other mothers and fathers in waiting rooms and you just stand and shake your head. But you always have nothing but empathy for others who are suffering through similar circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. And sorry, is your son Adam or Aaron?
Aaron.
Aaron. Has he read the book?
No, he has no interest whatsoever.
That's nice.
It's part of his charm. No, he does, though. Here's the spoiler alert at the very end of the book. I think the ultimate tearjerker of the book is that he writes a letter to the prospective readers and at one time agents and publishers for the book. And for one page, actually, tells it from his side, and all he really says is that he supported me telling the story, that Loving Large is in fact my story and not his. And it took a long time for me to get okay with, of course, talking about it, but I realized as long as I told it from my perspective that it was going to be insulated from violating his privacy and from what he went through, because what he went through is for him to tell.
Right, fair enough. And I read a footnote at the bottom of the press release. It says, if not me, then who will save my child? So did you go into, because it's rare, I assume there's not a great deal out there. Did you try and do some investigation into the illness?
Of course, you know, I think I was a mad fool, to be honest. And, you know, I couldn't find other parents right away, of course. But what I really wanted were the best doctors. So, and I was a little bit convinced that if I didn't do it, maybe someone else couldn't do it as well. And I think that's what parents do, to be honest, is I've got to do this. This is my child. And I was a bit on the run there. But like I said, I'm a full-time writer. So what I knew was research. So I immediately went down the Google pathway and found doctors on the west coast of the U.S., which I'm in central Canada, so they may as well have been, you know, on another continent. But so I got in touch with a doctor. And the book opens when I get this doctor on the phone, and the doctor says to me, there aren't that many people who are going to be able to help you. There are fewer than 200 cases of this any time in the world. And in fact, while there may be unreported cases or undiagnosed cases, the rate at which the tumor was affecting his life, this doctor said to me, you don't have much time. You've got to get him surgery if he's a candidate. You've got to get him the best doctors. So thankfully, and believe it or not, you mentioned a press release, how I found this doctor. And there were so many coincidences like this, which, as you and I know, aren't coincidences. But there were so many instances like this where I found what I needed quite by luck, I like to say sometimes. And one of them was I found a press release on the internet praising a doctor who was receiving an award for his investigations into gigantism and pituitary tumors. So not having anything to lose, I sent an email and asked for help, and that's exactly how it all started. Wow. And then because the world of rare disease is relatively small, this is a pituitary or an endocrine tumor, one doctor suggested another doctor suggested another, and in the end, I was in contact very rapidly with the top doctors in the world, and by the luck of geography, one of the top doctors in the world was here in Toronto, about a half an hour's drive away.
Wow.
And I was able to, now it took pulling strings and it took asking favors and it took me doing things that were very, very uncomfortable for me. But I did eventually make a couple of calls and get him seen. And in Canada, it's not a rapid fire exercise to get yourself to a specialist. So I was pretty pleased that within a month or two, we had him to the specialist that could really help him.
Oh, that's wonderful. And how is our Aaron now?
You know, he's big, Selena. He's big in personality, in life. He's got a big, gigantic sense of humor, which I adore. He's doing as well as he can. You know, he's 20. He'll laugh at this, but he's 26, 27 now, and still in treatment. Always will be. Things are in check right now. He's on a medication regime that keeps the remnant of tumor in check, so he's not growing right now, and he's experiencing the most comfort that he can. He's 6'11" now. He's a big man.
Yeah, he is. He is. I'm just looking at a picture from your website, and you are completely dwarfed by him. He's gorgeous, but you look tiny.
I know, and I'm 5'7". I am by no means a petite woman myself. But yeah, no, he's glorious, and thank you for asking. I'm always touched when people say, "Tell us how he is now," because the one thing I don't do is really go into his life at the end of the book. But at the very end, of course, he gets the last word at the end of the book, and there's a scene where he's being particularly funny because he is hilarious, and I love that the levity in our book is part of what keeps readers finding something to laugh about, even when sometimes I know I'm told it can be very stressful and sad watching us go through what we did. But at the very end of the book, he says, like, "Come on, I finally got some good news. The least you can do is go and live your life now."
Oh,
so he gets the last word.
Bless him. Well, yeah. I did want to ask about him, but I also wanted to say, how are you? Because you've been through the ringer a bit.
Yeah, I have been through the ringer. You know what? And I realized, and this is the cathartic piece for me, I got to the end of the book, and what I realized was I had some things to learn from my own book. And I giggle a little at maybe I should reread my own epilogue. And Aaron's right. It is time for me to stop being as concerned about what might happen and to live a little more, maybe even investigate some of those things I thought I might do 10 years ago before he was diagnosed. And then I didn't sort of want to stray too far from home in order to do them. So one of the next books that I'm working on is answering the question, where to next? Where do I go now? And I'm doing well. I have a wonderful career. I'm a very, very productive writer, and I have I coach other people in telling their stories. So I'm able to share what I've learned, which is to tell the story is to heal yourself from it, and also to show other people how very normal they can feel when they're struggling too. And if my book does nothing else, I hope that it is a comfort to other rare moms, as I call them, or warrior dads, who are confronting something they can't name, and their glorious, wonderful, extraordinary children are suffering. And when you don't know what it is that is altering your child's life trajectory,
yeah,
you'll do anything. You'll sacrifice anything. And I wanted to go to a place where I could at least say, hey, I've been there and you're going to be okay too. It's ultimately a book about endurance, maybe not so much resilience, because I don't know that I've overcome what we've all been through, sadly. But endurance was what I did. I just plodded along because I had to. And I think the world needs more stories of just getting through.
Yeah. I totally agree. Well done. The book is called Loving Large, A Mother's Rare Disease Memoir. It's by Patty M. Hall, who we're speaking to now. And you did mention that you coach other people as well. And I look on your website and it says, the world is waiting to hear your story. So how can people get in touch with you?
Well, pattymhall.com. I love when people just reach out to me randomly and say, what do you think of my story? Can you help? That's the best way to find me. My book is available all over the world now, even though COVID has held it back for a while. And I'm on social media at Patty M. Hall as well. I'd love to hear from folks.
Lovely. Thank you very much for being on the show, Patty. And do give our best to Aaron.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.